Hello, fellow fancy baseball nuts, and a very warm welcome to episode number 7 of the Johnny and Josh Fancy Extra. Now, on this very day, we're recording on the 9th of September 2020, and on this very day, 10 years ago, Ichiro Suzuki, the legendary Mariner, became the first major leaguer with 10 consecutive seasons with 200 hits. Never had him in my fancy baseball team, but to make up for it, I've got the hitmaster himself, the legend of fancy baseball, Mr. James Holden. In the hot seat. Jimbo, how are you, sir?
I'm really good, Johnny. And that, I love that intro. I might have that one again, actually, next season. If we could do the same one again, that'd be great. Thank you.
Do you ever imagine in your fancy baseball career that you were going to be described as Ichiro, the legend that is?
No, that's so, yes, sort of out of reality. But I'll take it. It's as good as it's ever going to get, I think, for me. So, yes, thank you, Johnny.
You know, the definition of success, Jimbo, is when you have a role that's being sold at Mariner Park, that's named after you, the Ichiro. That's what they used to call it, the Ichiro. It was basically sushi. And as Eric said, when we visited there on a road trip many moons ago during the Channel 5 baseball days, he said it was the healthiest baseball park food he'd ever eaten.
Yeah, I can imagine. Very disappointing if you're Eric, though, yeah.
Yes, particularly. But apparently no one liked it. I mean, it may have been healthy, but no one ate the damn thing, which is a bit of a waste of time. Anyway, mate, it's lovely to have your company, as always. For those listeners that obviously don't have the courtesy of the viewing facility that I have, you're sitting there in your study, in your Braves top. You are a Braves man to the core, aren't you?
I am. I'm, you know, hopeful we might scrape through to the playoffs.
Well, I think the word is scrape through, isn't it? Yeah. What's going wrong? It's all going absolute tits up, isn't it?
You know, getting swept by the Marlins. What could? It's not perfect, but we've still got a couple of weeks to pick ourselves up and start focusing on the big prize.
Well, you do say a couple of weeks, 2.5 to be exact, to go of the baseball season time, and particularly for us Braves fans, it is squeaky bum time. Amazing also a quarter of the season left in a roto league or points league, but probably the last gasp before the playoffs if you're in a head-to-head league. You've been very kind to invite me into your head-to-head league. This is the last week. So, Jimbo, we need your help. Depending on which league we're in, what are we doing at this stage of the season?
Well, I think it's a really good question. So, I mean, I think so much depends on your position in the table. So, you know, if you are top of the table, 2.5 weeks to go or half a week to go to get in the playoffs, you are just bunkering down. You are hoping for the best. You are not taking any risks. You are benching all of your starters in any risky kind of matchups in case they destroy your ratios. Yes, you're looking for help on the wire, but in the main, you're trying not to muck it up. If, on the other hand, if you're challenging for the title, so if you're, say, second, third, fourth, fifth, maybe, and you still think mathematically you can make it to the title, you've got to go for it. You need to be, if you're, assuming your league allows it, streaming pitchers every day if you can, throwing out anybody who's not performing onto the waiver wire, picking up a hot bat. There is still time. As you said, there's a quarter of the season to go. You've got to be going for it. If you're in the lower half, I think it's really important to say, you've got to keep it professional. It's not really fair on the rest of the league if you give up. You know, really try your best, come as high as you possibly can, and you know, really start thinking about what you might want to do next year differently. And of course, if you're in a keeper league where maybe you keep some of your players to next year, you want to be looking at kind of selling off stars that from this year's team who you can't keep, and really trying to identify, you know, maybe there's draft picks you can get for next year or keepers, etc. And if you're bottom in a non-keeper league, I promise you Premier League football is back very, very soon.
Now, normally that last piece of advice would be very relevant to me, but I'm very happy to say I'm not bottom in any of my leagues this season, which is, as you know, almost a miracle.
I love the way you say that, exactly, with such surprise and such joy in your voice.
No one has won the wooden spoon more than me, mate. I've got splinters to show for it. Premier League football is back. We've also got the NFL. I mean, if you're into fantasy, is there any sport that you wouldn't play? I know, I love it. I love it. Although, obviously, fantasy baseball is the true sport.
I think fantasy baseball, I think, is the hardest. So yes, I say it is the keyest. I still wonder whether we'll kind of come up with a format of fantasy baseball more akin to sort of 2020 cricket to the full 5-day test arena, which maybe will make it more accessible to people who like to play once a week rather than 6 or 7 days a week.
Well, it's really funny because in many respects, a lot of people are saying that this 60-game season is exactly that. It's like a form of T20 for cricket lovers in that it's just 2 months of you ruining saying your marriage, your relationship with your children, with your, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
That is so very true.
You and I know what it's like. Yeah. We disappear for 6 months at a time and expect our partners to still recognize us, let alone like us at the end of it. Whereas 2 months for them is probably a holiday they enjoy.
Yeah, very true. Now, I think that's, I'd certainly thinking about a lot of the leagues I play in, quite a few of the people who play for fun rather than absolutely wanting to win every year are certainly seem to be enjoying this season much more than most, because for exactly the reason you say, it's not so intense and actually it's pretty fun for 2 months rather than, you know, really just a hard slog for 6 months, which it can be in some leagues.
Fantasy baseball aside, Jim, I'm just amazed how much fun this season actually has been when you consider we've had the COVID cloud.
That's because you are actually striving to win a title, Johnny.
Well, that helps. That helps. Yeah. But it's also, I'm finding myself watching an awful lot more live baseball and sitting up till 3-4 in the morning and asking myself the simple question, what are you doing, man? It does obviously help. I've got no work to go to. So that's an added bonus.
Yeah, well, lucky you. But I think definitely it does feel like a real bonus at the moment, doesn't it? To have live sport every single night, nice weather. And actually, we were talking the other day. I mean, I think the baseball season this year has actually been really fun. I mean, there have been some great pitching performances and some fantastic hitting performances. Actually, this is as good an actual baseball season to be a fan as we've had in quite some time.
But also with all the double headers, etc., you're getting baseball on at a very, very reasonable time of day for a European fan. So there's all sorts of aspects of it, and the difference of having National League pitchers, having in the DH in both divisions. It's interesting to see how that's developed. I mean, there's been aspects of it that you may not want to see in a normal season, but actually it's been quite fun to see what it's like without committing in an abnormal season as this one is.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I mean, I've listened to other podcasts apart from our own the other day, and actually there's quite an interesting discussion about whether a seven innings game was actually more fun for fans versus a standard nine innings games. Also talking about, you know, kind of starting extra innings with a runner on base already, should that be continued into the future? And, you know, quite a divide from the different pundits on it. But I must admit, I'm quite a fan of both of those things. I think anything that makes it feel, you know, more pacey, more energetic, you know, more exciting for a broader range of fans is pretty good. I mean, I'm not sure I'd go as far as the seven innings outside of doubleheaders, but I probably would keep that, to be honest. But I really like the runner on base in extra innings. I mean, there's a lot of people say maybe you should be on first rather than second, but I think that's a really good initiative, actually. It's entertaining.
100% agree. 100% agree, buddy. I love the extra inning concept. And I do agree with you, the doubleheaders, that for the doubleheaders, I'm a big fan of seven innings only, but I would want to retain nine innings for a normal game. Yeah. Jimbo, look, we're going to focus on the suitcase in a moment, helping out all our listeners with their own fantasy needs, picking up players that are perhaps sitting on that waiver wire if they need reinforcement in their fantasy squad. But before we do, here's a burning question I've been meaning to ask you for a number of weeks now. And that is the comparison between a great player in pure baseball terms and a great player in fantasy baseball terms. Is there a difference, or are they one and the same?
Well, I feel I answer every one of your questions every week with "it depends," but it does depend. It depends on the categories in your fantasy league. I mean, there are leagues out there, not many, but there are some that do include defense. And I think that's one of the big differences. You get players who are absolutely superb, legendary, brilliant fielders. Andrelton Simmons of the Angels, for example, and his brilliance and his, you know, parade of gold gloves every year simply isn't reflected in the fantasy sphere. So he's not a superb hitter. He's not somebody who naturally will always be rostered in a 12 team league, for example. So I think defense is the biggest difference. I think outside of points leagues, strikeouts don't matter from a batting point of view. So yeah, if you're somebody who hits 50 home runs in a season, if you strike out 50% of the time, it doesn't matter in most fantasy leagues. Whereas it might be pretty infuriating if to the rest of your teammates if you're an actual baseball team. And the other one I think is steals. So steals is a hugely important category in most fantasy leagues. And it is important in normal baseball, but it doesn't have the same importance. Certainly there are players like Malik Smith who, you know, often have been drafted as a couple of guys. We'll talk about in the suitcase later. Quite highly in a fantasy world in the past, but who probably aren't valued as highly by real baseball managers. And finally, I think there's a thing about kind of behaviours and personality. We talk a lot about, you know, Nick Markakis of the Braves is one guy who's often talked about as being a really good clubhouse guy. But in fantasy, who cares?
Yeah. You don't get points for being a nice bloke. It's really interesting that, because when we did our field trip with Channel 5 all those years ago, and I know for 5 years we went on these road trips, and I remember the year that we went to watch. He was at Baltimore. Is that right, Markakis, in his early career?
Yeah, he was.
And we caught, as we always did, we were allowed on the field. We caught batting practice. And I remember watching him in batting practice. And, he was a young man. He was new. I didn't really know who he was. But I watched him. And, oh, my Lord, was that man hitting the ball sweetly. And he went out that night and he hit 3 home runs. And I tell you what, I could have predicted it. I watched him in batting practice. Incredible. So I've always had a soft spot, and I loved it when the Braves picked him up. Always had a soft spot for him. And you talk about great clubhouse guys. Surrey and McGeechan, possibly the greatest rugby coach ever, who's coached Scotland, obviously a great player in his own time, but particularly made his name as the head coach of the British and Irish Lions. Yeah? You know it, Surrey McGeechan.
Yeah.
He says in a great video about the Lions from, I think it was late 90s, he said that Jason Leonard was the greatest Lion ever in his experience. Now, this is a man who's been on numerous tours in a position of huge influence, so his opinion matters. And he used to talk about Jason Leonard, and it wasn't because he was the best player. He said he was the best club man. He was the best Lion. He said because when he wasn't starting, or even when he wasn't playing, he was 100% committed to the team winning that game and supporting the players that were picked over him. Now, I believe Jace got 5 Lions caps. He did play in 5 tests during his career on top of the 114 caps he got for England, which makes him the most capped English rugby player in the history of the game. So a true legend in anybody's eyes. But I remember always thinking, how important is that? Being a clubhouse guy, to have Surrey McGeechan say you're the greatest Lion ever, not because of what you've achieved on the field, but what he achieved off it. And I think that's an extraordinary thing. And you said it yourself. That, unfortunately, is of great value in real baseball terms, but actually meaningless for us fantasy legends.
Yeah, absolutely. To our younger listeners out there, there's a lesson there. Johnny's how to behave. But no, I mean, that is brilliant. And in a way, you always wish fantasy baseball did have a thing for that kind of, you know, leadership.
Are there any examples? Can you give me any modern day examples of a baseball player that's considered a great clubhouse man that hasn't particularly done it for us in fantasy terms?
Well, I think Nick Markakis in recent years would be one, actually. So,
he's had a bit of an autumn career.
I mean, I think it's almost the other way around, actually, the flip side. I think there are several players who are hugely talented, but just seem to move around an awful lot. So, Yasiel Puig is the obvious one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's ever really fulfilled the potential he showed in his early, Dodgers days. But, clearly there's a lot of talent there. But, the man can't even get a job this season for any major league team. That is entirely down to personality. Or allegedly entirely down to personality and clubhouse fit or lack of.
Yeah, I think we used to refer to it as clubhouse cancer. That perhaps is a little strong, but I know exactly what you mean, that someone that upsets the dynamics of a great team ethos, which, as we know, it's a team sport. As is fantasy baseball, it's a team sport. No, it isn't. You're out there on your own, some sad-o like me, sitting in my study, watching the computer screen at 3 a.m.
Now, not at all. There are thousands and thousands of men, women around the world happily joining together in the fantastic sport that is fantasy baseball, John.
I love it. You're exactly the right man to have on this show. Okay, well, look, let's progress beyond that conversation, and let's talk about who is the most valuable player in a fantasy baseball sense.
Okay, so sure. So, if I start with actually kind of actual baseball, so if we do the MVP, the most valuable player in baseball and compare that to fantasy. So, obviously, financially, Mike Trout, then you've got people like Gerrit Cole, Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts have got these massive, massive contracts. But I thought, in terms of having this conversation, it's worth looking at the bookmakers' odds for the MVPs. And I think there is quite a strong correlation with fantasy. So in the American League, in the AL, it's pretty up for grabs. Who do you reckon is the fave for MVP of the American League this year, JG?
Well, Mike Trout obviously has to be in the conversation, yet again producing the numbers. One who's annoyed the hell out of me is Jose Abreu, because I've had him on numerous occasions. He's always been solid. He's never been spectacular. And this season, when I haven't got him, he's spectacular. He's surely got to be in the running.
They are. And both of those two are in the top three in the bookies' odds. But actually, this year, the favourite is actually Shane Bieber.
No, the pitcher. Yeah,
indeed, indeed. So Shane Bieber, currently the favourite, only just ahead of Mike Trout, ahead of Jose Abreu. You've got people like Brandon Lau in there, Nelson Cruz, Anthony Rendon. So, yeah, but yeah, really interesting. If Bieber continues like this and he goes on to win it, yeah, I think that'd be, yeah, brilliant.
Because I think we've had pitchers. I'm pretty sure Verlander won the MVP as well as the Cy Young. Isn't that right?
Yeah, he's the last in the American League, exactly right, 2011. And Kershaw actually won the National League MVP in 2014. So it does happen. But yeah, I mean, so once every 10 years, once every 15 years. So maybe we're due for another one. But yeah, it's always quite a shock when it happens. And I'll be, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. National League, though, one clear leader. So, you know, one player.
Got to be. Tatis, got to be.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Off the charts.
Fernando Tatis Jr. is indeed a very, very clear leader for MVP of the National League. I'd be astonished if it's not him. Some quite interesting names actually in the frame as well. So Mike Yastrzemski is up there and Mookie Betts as well, actually. So, yeah, and as you say, that anyone with Tatis on board is going to be having a good fantasy season, yeah.
Seriously, Mike Yastrzemski, I know he's having a good season, but it's considered MVP potential.
He's done brilliantly. I mean, yeah, he's delivered a top 20 season in terms of fantasy value. And I think part of it is where he's come from, because I don't think anybody was drafting him or roster, you know, picking him up to in the top 200 players this season. So for him to have delivered a top 20 season, and he's really, you know, the Giants have performed so much better than expected. And a lot of that, he has literally carried that team on his back all season and he hasn't slowed down.
Well, if you listen to my mate, Mike Dowling, who is the UK's number one Giants fan, he says they're going all the way. They're going to make the playoffs. Wow. I keep laughing at him. I keep trying to belittle him. And I get a text message from him every morning saying, I told you, Gordy, I told you. And I mean, they're still in the hunt.
They are still in the hunt. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
So are those players actually having the best fantasy seasons as well? Does it correlate?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I think that's exactly the right question. And the answer is, to some extent, yes. So Tatis, absolutely, I think he'll win the MVP in the National League. He is the most valuable player in fantasy across all leagues, and certainly in the sort of leagues that we play in. But actually, I mean, the one thing it really tells me is that Trevor Story is really overlooked by the bookies and maybe the public, because he's not in the top, you know, two or three likely winners of the MVP in the National League, from certainly anywhere I've looked. But actually, from a fantasy point of view, he's having a top three season. So, you know, if I look at the players who've delivered the most fantasy value this season, Tatis Jr., Shane Bieber, Trevor Story, Mookie Betts, Yu Darvish, Manny Machado, and Mike Trout, you know, those seven are, you know, a little bit head and shoulders above everybody else. But
they are the top seven fantasy providers, and not one of them is in one of my lineups. But all the fantasy baseball teams I have, and as you know, James, I have many, not one of them is in one of those teams.
No, I've got Darvish in a few, but equally, you don't need them. And all of those guys, and with the exception, I think Machado is really interesting. You know, he could have got him outside the top 50 in some leagues, and Darvish as well. But most of those other guys are kind of first and second round talent. So there's nothing truly, you know, astonishing about those players. They are good players. You'd have paid a lot of money to roster them on your team. And yeah, and they're delivering.
And again, you've told me on numerous occasions that delivering a winning fantasy baseball season is all about picking up value, in terms of picking up somebody third, fourth, fifth round, who then delivers round one value. So who else is producing round one value this season?
Okay, so if those are your top seven, then other players are delivering first round. So Trey Turner, Jose Ramirez, Nelson Cruz, who again, I think you probably would have been able to get outside the first, second or third rounds, Bryce Harper, and Teoscar Hernandez.
Is Bryce Harper's an interesting one. I'm amazed. I got him in an online draft. I got him in the second round. I was amazed he went second. I assumed he'd be a first round, and he is delivering. He's doing well.
Phillies are hitting well, and he's particularly strong in an on-base percentage league. So we play in a lot of those. So he's particularly good there. So, yes. Yeah. I mean, other players like kind of pitchers, there's Lance Lynn, Jacob deGrom, Kenta Maeda, Liam Hendricks is the best relief pitcher, and certainly he's...
Is he the number one?
You've got him, I know. But I think Teoscar's the most interesting one there, because certainly in most of the leagues that I'm in, Teoscar wouldn't have been drafted at all in a 10-teamer, in a 12-teamer, and possibly not even in a 15-teamer at the beginning of the season.
Well, and he was on the waiver wire in our big league that we are in, the auction draft league. He was off. You picked him up. And, of course, the tragic news for anybody that, like you, had the wisdom to make that move is the fact that, and this is obviously tragic both for him and for the Blue Jays, is that he's now on the IL.
Yeah, and it might even be out for the season. So, yes, those of us who, you know, may or may not have him in three separate leagues are pretty hacked off, frankly.
But, surely, you know, he must have been in the conversation for MVP, because he's produced certainly for the Blue Jays MVP numbers, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. He's done brilliantly. But, you know, he's going to miss the last 2.5 weeks or the last 3 weeks of the season. He's done well, I think, from a fantasy point of view. But that's what you need, players like him, to have come from outside the top 200 and deliver a top 25, top 30 season.
Buddy, I've really enjoyed that. I mean, that is really informative. I know we haven't got time to do it now, but will we be doing something similar with the pitchers, with the Cy Young Award winners for the next podcast we do?
Yeah, I don't see why not, actually. I think it'd be really interesting. And I'll leave you with a thought, not to answer now, but if I tell you that there is a San Diego pitcher in the top 10 pitchers in terms of fantasy value this season, and I bet if I gave you 5 guesses, you still wouldn't get it. So, you know, there are always, we talked about it, I think, on the first
show. Well, it's not Clevenger, even though he's now a San Diego pitcher.
It's not Clevenger.
No, it should be. Cost me a bloody
it's not Clevenger. nor is it Lamet, which is everybody's normal answer as well. There's another starting.
Well, that was who I was going to go with. Okay, right, now you have got me confused.
Go on. Okay. We'll cover it next week, but yes, okay. there is always value to be found, particularly on pitching. I think, you know, less so on hitting, but Teoscar is a perfect example. Yastrzemski is another example. There are always hitters, and there's always loads of pitchers who come from nowhere to do fantastic fantastic fantasy seasons.
Well, we'll talk about that as a part of the drafting policy advice for anybody that is in a traditional league. We'll talk about that next week when we're talking about the Cy Young. But for now, let's get to my favourite part of the show, the suitcase. For those new listeners to the show, it's a quick reminder is that these are basically players that are rostered in under 20% of on average in ESPN leagues. So who have you got in the suitcase this week, Jimbo?
Right, we'll go quickly. So catcher, under 20, Joey Bart, San Francisco Giants. He plays every day. He's hitting well for a catcher. He's rostered in 18% of leagues. If you need a catcher, pick him up. The other one I think is worth mentioning, Sean Murphy.
No, not Sean Murphy. Please tell me not Sean Murphy.
Hey, really?
Well, yeah. I drafted him, as you know, at the beginning of the season, convinced he was going to be fantastic. He was utterly useless, got rid of him. Please don't tell me he's now firing on all cylinders.
No, finally, he's hit 2 home runs this week. So, yes, again.
It's a fluke. It's a one-off. It's not going to happen again.
Hopefully. He's a young player. He will get better. Yes, I'd be looking at him. But certainly, Joey Bart or Sean Murphy, both of them, if you need a catcher, perfectly okay.
Yeah, I picked up Joey Bart in one of my other ones where my catcher went on the IL and he's delivered. So, I mean, and he's a youngster as well. So, definitely one for the future. Okay, corner infield. Who have we got there?
Well, there's loads, actually, the corner infield this week. So the first one I mentioned, Bobby Dalbec of Boston. He's a rookie, you know, reasonably well-regarded, but not necessarily, you know, an absolutely top prospect, although well-known for his power. And actually, he's hit a home run in 4 straight games.
Whoa!
So, you know, and that's actually the longest homer streak apparently by a rookie in Boston's franchise history. So, I mean, is he going to keep it up? I don't know, but it does kind of remind you of when Rhys Hoskins came up for the Phillies a couple of years ago and just hit home run after home run after home run. And again, won several people's league. He's not rostered in very many leagues. I'd really have a look at that if you need somebody. The other one, just to quickly talk about corner infielder, Ty France. We talked about him very briefly last week. He was traded to San Diego. Traded from San Diego to Seattle as part of the haul for Austin Nola. Actually, apparently they've been really after him for quite a while, and he is starting every single day. He's hitting well, so certainly worth picking up.
Okay, and I believe he has first, second, and third base eligibility, so he's got that multi-position flexibility as well, which is valuable. We talked about it last week.
We really enjoy those days. It's the Swiss Army knife players, and Ty France, he's got some clout. He's got some power, and if he's playing every day, you need somebody. Why not give him a go?
Okay, slightly more difficult, certainly from my experience, is the middle infield. What have you got for me this week?
Yeah, I found this really hard actually this week. And the only person really that I can kind of get behind is Andrés Giménez. He's
okay.
The Mets second base shortstop. He is starting almost every day. And particularly if you need steals, there is your man. He's rostered in less than 10% of the leagues. He may well be available in yours if you need speed. Great guy to pick up.
Okay, no such problems in the outfield, I'm assuming.
No, there's loads of outfielders, actually. It's pretty good. So the first one I mentioned, Raimel Tapia of Colorado.
What? Hang on, you mentioned him before. He's not still available, surely.
He is. Only rostered, I mean, I'm surprised, but he's only rostered in 10% of ESPN leagues still.
Wow. Well, hang on. Okay, now you have tipped my interest. Let me just have a quick look on the internet and see how he's done since you suggested that everyone should pick him up. Was it last week you made that suggestion?
Yeah, he was firmly in the suitcase last week. Possibly the week before as well.
Right, I've got it here. 4 runs, 1 home run, 2 RBIs, and a .370 on base percentage. So if you're doing on base rather than batting average, that's not a bad delivery from a suitcase.
No. I don't know. I wonder what more do people want off the waiver wire exactly.
Absolutely.
And one. I mean, a player I really don't enjoy at all, but I have to mention Jackie Bradley Jr. of Boston.
Why don't you like him? I love him. What's wrong?
Well, you would, but he's so streaky. So in a
that's the whole point of a waiver player. You go with them when they're hot, you dump them when they're not, and you have no conscience. It's like early dating days when you go out with a really attractive girl and a month later you go out with another really attractive girl. I mean, that's what we used to do. That's the norm. Yeah.
I think you and I had such different teenage years. That was not my. That is not a reflective story of my teenage dating days.
I'm just completely making up my early
Gobi Desert followed by the Sahara Desert. But anyway, yeah, Jackie Bradley Jr. He's really hot at the moment, but yeah. I hate him because he has massive cold stretches too. So others, if you need power, I'd look at Garrett Cooper of Miami. He's a good hitter. I think he's underrated. They have loads of games and he's eligible first base
as well. Yeah, first base eligibility. Yeah,
good guy. And if you need speed, Manny Margot of Tampa Bay. He doesn't play every single day, but he's got 5 stolen bases in the past 7 days. And to me, that's really worth having.
Okay, you mentioned at the top of the show, we're talking about, you know, if you're in the hunt, you've got to now start taking risks and in particular start streaming pitchers. I've taken that advice. I've done that already twice this week. Pretty much paid off.
Success.
It's gone well, but I now need some guidance. Who else am I looking out for that I could perhaps stream from an SP perspective?
The two you've had so far have been great. So, yeah, you picked up Tyler Marley, and I know you've streamed him twice in the past week, and it's worked out both times. You've got Dane Dunning, who's worked out twice, and he's actually pitching tonight, so we don't know how that's going to go. But, I think...
Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been streaming Yusei Kikuchi of Seattle. He's really good at home. He's rubbish on the road. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. And I think really looking at pitcher splits, and there are quite a few who, as the season emerges, do much better at home or away, and you can have a lot of success just streaming whichever one they work in. But if you want one player to pick up, one guy I think is interesting, Justin Dunn of Seattle, rostered in 19% of leagues, so he just squeaks under the 20% eligibility level. But he's actually had 3 excellent starts in a row, and he's got Arizona next, and as we know, they're not firing on all cylinders. And at this stage, it is absolutely about just streaming against weak offenses. So yes, Justin Dunn is somebody I'd be looking at.
Okay, right. Well, let's move on to the RP, which traditionally is quite an easy one, at least relief pitchers, not so much closers, to find in the suitcase. What have you got for me?
Yeah, well, we've got 2 closers available to you this week, Johnny.
Whoa, hang on. Put the handbrake on. 2 closers? Rostered in under 20% of ESPN leagues?
Again, I mean, the closer carousel this year is just turning at a faster and faster and faster pace this season. I don't think I've ever seen a season we've had this much turnover and so many different players getting opportunities. But if you want 2 names, so number one, a guy called Rafael Dolis. He appears to be the Blue Jays. Why, yes.
Well, because I just traded for him. Yeah, I just traded for him today.
God, this is... This is unheard of.
I know, mate. I thought he was on the waiver wire. You told me he was rostered in less than 20%. I went and had a look.
He is. But he's worth having at the moment. He's on fire, and certainly until Ken Giles gets back, worth having. And the other guy, Richard Rodriguez, and whilst Dolis appears to be the Blue Jays closer, Richard Rodriguez definitely is the Pittsburgh closer for the rest of the season. And to be honest, he's doing a really good job. Kian Keller's out of contract. Pittsburgh aren't known for, you know, spending, splashing out on large sums on relief pitchers. So I think he's got a pretty good chance of being the closer in Pittsburgh next year as well.
Well, funny you should mention him, because I picked him off the waiver wire about 2.5 weeks ago, and I picked him up for Zippo, and now he's the closer.
Oh, this is painful.
I've done my research. Okay, well, I hope everybody's very impressed with those, because obviously having two closers that are genuinely on ESPN leagues rostered in less than 20%, now's the time. Get out there, grab them.
You're just excited because you were slightly ahead of the curve in actually picking them up. So,
true. And this time next week, they'll both have lost their job and added a point and a half to my ERA and whip. So, yes,
no.
I'll be none the wiser.
No.
Okay, well, Jimbo, thank you for putting me ahead of the curve. But the real question mark is, can you possibly deliver in the Hail Mary Stakes? And obviously, just to remind new listeners, the Hail Mary is a player who's rostered in less than 1%. So these are complete unknowns or completely out of favour, but you think they're going to come good. And you've been so right so often so far. What can you deliver this week?
Well, actually, who is this week? So, someone you've actually heard of this week, JG. So, Aledmys Díaz, the Houston middle infielder.
You say that I know him. Why do you assume that I know him?
Oh, he's been around. He's done well. He was at Toronto. He's been a regular at times in Houston, but not this year. So he's been on the bench most of the season, but now he is actually the Houston second baseman whilst Jose Altuve is out with a knee injury. So I know Houston aren't quite the force they've been offensively in recent years, but, you know, it's a decent lineup. It's got Springer, it's got Brantley, it's got others. And Aledmys Díaz is rostered in just 0.6% of ESPN leagues. So surely he's going to be available in the deepest of deep leagues too, and, you know, playing every day for Houston is not a bad place to be.
Who did you mention last week with that wonderful name? That's Seattle, the second baseman.
I know you picked him up, Jose Marmolejos.
I picked him up but I still don't remember his name. Jose Marmolejos.
Was that just to prove that, you know, he actually
only picked him up for one day and then I dropped him again? How did he get on?
I know, he got you 2 RBI, didn't he? Yes, you had a successful, you picked him up, he got you 2 RBI, you dropped him, you were happy. Yeah, exactly. Well, there you are, the Hail Mary delivered for you, even if not for anybody else, hopefully some other people too. But
Jimbo, there is living proof that I approach my fantasy baseball as I approach my dating life when I was in my teens. Absolutely brutal.
I'm looking forward to our off-season series when we're trying to, you know, keep the listeners engaged with a small bit of fantasy baseball strategy and a lot of the history of Johnny's dating as a teenager.
It's going to be a short story and a rather upsetting one. Buddy, as always, you've been absolutely legendary. We look forward to looking back and seeing how successful your tips have been. How are you getting on before we close out? How's your fantasy baseball season going?
Yeah, it's all right. It is all right. It's been such an odd year. So there's one league I really, really want to win. I'm in second place, and even with 2 weeks left, the guys in first. I mean, I would say I've had so many injuries, like you can't believe.
Oh, here we go.
That's the one I really want to win this year. It's gonna be tough.
Are you gonna make the playoffs in the head-to-head league that we're in together? Because I'm going to make those playoffs. I'm just wondering if you're going to.
I think who won the league last year? No.
Hey,
no.
It's history, mate. It's history. That's why it's in a book, collecting cobwebs. History. Live in the future. Live in the present, young James.
To be fair, no. I'm comfortable with that, though. It's all right.
Buddy, if I beat you in two leagues in the same season, you'll never live it down. And I'll never let you live it down.
Oh, dear. Well, painful. Painful.
Buddy, I'm so always busy, a pleasure. You know. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Avoiding my phone calls. That's all that keeps you busy. As always, James, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time.
No problem. It's always good to chat.
Always good to chat. Looking forward to hearing from you next week. That's it from this week's Johnny and Josh Show Fantasy Podcast add-on. Do hope it's been informative. And if you're into your fantasy baseball, make sure you spread the word amongst your friends on Facebook at the Johnny and Josh Show or on Instagram or Twitter at Johnny and Josh. From us, James, from myself, for you fellow fantasy baseball nuts, have a great week, guys. And we look forward to touching base this time next week.